Mr. Douglas 304, we were just talking about your time in the territorials. Can you remember when you actually joined?
I can't remember exact time and date, like, you know, but...
What year?
It was, I remember it was... It was the back end of the year. It was before a camp. I went along to the Wid Drill Hall Lake and put my name in to join. And I remember I went to the camp that year. I went.
Would that be about 1934?
Yes, because I remember we marched down to the station at Shield Row. We used to march, and then there weren't many buses in them days. There weren't buses, but of course we went by train, entrained at, stayed on that train till we got to where we wanted. You know, they shunted it here and there, and we generally stayed on the train all the time until we got to where the camp was. Might be Richmond, might be Redcar, might be Whitby, wherever it was. It was somewhere in Durham, often enough, like, or North Yorkshire.
So you were about 17 when you joined the
yes.
territorials.
Mm-hmm.
Were you still at home then?
Yes. I was still at home. I was still at home because my dad, I wanted to join before I was 17. I must have joined when I was... I think you had to be 17 before you joined. And my dad wouldn't sign the paper. But eventually he did, as I say. And anyway, I remember it was our PSM Rafferty. Rafferty, he was... the PSM up at the drill hall, up there and joined the territorials and got my uniform. And I remember I suppose it'll be the same now. The sort of give you a jacket, approximate fit, and the tailor came out from Durham. He'd be at employed headquarters. I think he may be personal, permanent sort of a. Employee, and he used to have a piece of chalk. He'd grab the back of your tunic and he used to make marks on. Take it away, come a perfect fit. Of course, brass buttons down the front. Of course, it wasn't the battle dress in those days, it was it's called a tunic with a jacket and trousers.
I think you mentioned that earlier. What sort of activities did you do at your weekly meetings? I think you said you met on a Thursday.
Where at? Like when
at the drill hall.
Oh, it would depend on the time of the year, I suppose. But we learnt from the beginning now, and I learned to stand to attention. That was the first. Stand to attention, stand at ease, and stand easy. And then we learnt arms drill. Slope arms and present arms, you know, for different examine arms, the different movements, and they would show you, bring one of the fellas only up, bring them out and demonstrate, and then you show you how it was done, and then you had to sort of do it and practice it. I remember one time there was a fella, and he was left-handed. He came from somewhere between here and Chesley Street. But every time we sloped arms, he ended up with a rifle on his wrong shoulder. And it was amazing how he did it. But I remember it was Corporal Griffin. How the hell do you do that? he wasn't very bright, like, you know. But he used to end up with... How he did it, I don't know, but... I know he was left-handed, and he used to end up with that rifle on the wrong shoulder. It should be on his right shoulder, he'd end up on his left shoulder. I don't know how he used to, but he did it anyway. I remember that. He was quite a character. That fella, we used to laugh at him. And, of course, we used to get how to aim a rifle, give the demonstrations, and we used to get judging distances. He used to put a thing, sort of a landscape thing up. And to give you an idea, judge for range on your rifle, you see. because there's no use putting your rifle at 200 yards if there's a man, you want to shoot at a man 500 yards. And you've got, the only thing you can get proficient at that is by practice, and, you know, until you can get, it comes to you eventually, like everything else. If you practice, you become good at it. Well, we used to practice drill, rifle drill, marching, different movements. Of course, it was form fours in those days, wasn't threes. Nowadays, it's threes. But in those days, it was form fours. We used to take one step, every alternate, I take one step backwards and one step to the side. There was two ranks in the form fours. Of course, when they brought the new drill in before the war, just before the war it was, it was form threes. It was a different set of all together. We got the Bren gun. It was all to learn about. And we got different uniform. We got the battle dress, you know. Instead of having the putties, we got the little short legging things and the chun just to the waist. It was much more comfortable and altogether better.
More practical.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, I was certain. We've got the Bren gun as against the Lewis, which I suppose it was an improvement. It was a lighter gun, the Bren, and wasn't so prone to stoppage. But you had to learn your weapons, of course. That was very important.
Did you get a chance to fire them?
Oh, yes, live yes, firing. Yes. We had a range up in the drill hall. We used to fire there with the Leontine rifle, but with a .22 bow, you know, same rifle, a small bow, and of course the target was set so that at 25 yards the size of the target would be whatever, you know, 200 yards, 300 yards, or whatever it was. I was always a good shot. Rafferty used to please me, and I remember he was very, very... I remember when we used to go to Whitburn to fight, of course, with real ammunition then, of course. And I remember when I fight, the first time I went to fight the first course, I think the men in the butts, they used to have a bet, because there was about 10 of them in the trench, you know, we used to rest and fight the targets. And they used to have a bit of a bet, penny or twopence, where it was, on who would get the best score. Among the recruits, the first years, like, you know, the first time there, and they said that I was a, you know, experienced man, but I'd never fired a rifle, not a .303 in my life. I had fired, because I said my dad was a showman. He had, but there were 2.2s, and I'd fired 2.2 at the. Well, Rafferty took me down. There used to be a big meeting one those days at down at Whitburn. That's where the range was. And once a year, I used to have a big meet with all the crack shots, somewhat like a miniature Bisley, you know. And I went there and I got a prize, like, you know. I always liked shooting.
Did you do any other weapons training with the Territorials at this time? Any other weapons or any other weapon training apart from the?
Well, of course, you're training. You had to, you know, take the gun to pieces. And you would be in a group. Put a ground sheet down, and I'll show you how to take the gun to pieces. Show you how the gun worked. You see, you've got to know your weapons, and then you know how to. Because it's a Bren gun. It was a new principle. You see, it fired on a not on a recoil, but on a gas. The gas used to come down through a port. A little thing on the front of the Bren. You turn around, you know, it's drilled there, and it's come back, and the gas used to push the ball back for the next round, and if it got blocked, you should turn the thing another turn and get a clean passage, because it used to clog up through eventually, like, you know, you're doing a lot of fire, continual firing and that. And of course the barrel, the bag would get hot, and you had to take the barrel. You got a spare barrel, take the barrel off, chuck it in a pool, anything, anywhere, get cool it, put another barrel on, and then you can continue firing. Well, they used to get very, very hot. Firing a lot, get really hot. The rifle used to get hot. Well, they're firing a lot of rounds.
Any other activities that you would do with the Territorials?
Activities?
Did you do sports or anything like that? Marching?
I was football. Every company had a football team. See, company had a very good football. They won the cup several times. Before my time, I remember they had a very good team. They won the cup, they won honours and that, I remember them saying. And of course, there was all sorts of sports to keep you fit. You used to do, to keep you fit. That was one of the first things when you went to camp. But outside for PT, so you get out and get deep breathing exercise and various exercises until you got warmed up. Then you used to get what they called gunfire. They called it gunfire. It was a drink of tea before you started. If you were there in time, limited amount of it, and that was the first thing. Then of course they had like cross country races and things like that. Keep you on your toes. And there was always something to do. I think it's part of army policy, and it's a good policy as well. You must keep a man occupied, We used to have polishing buttons and polishing your boots, blancoing your equipment, and all that sort of thing had to be done. But I used to take a pride in that. I used to like it. I was smart. I took a pride in being a smart soldier, and I enjoyed being a soldier. I was fairly intelligent compared with most of them. Like, I think a lot of them were they weren't very bright at all, a lot of them. But the mate soldiers, like, and after all, you're expendable when you're a soldier. But as long as you can fire fairly accurately, well, you can, call your position, that's it. Can't explain.
You mentioned the camp before. Can you remember your first camp and where you went?
I remember. I think it was Richmond. I'm not sure. I can't really remember. It's a long, long time ago, and I should remember because. But I remember I was. I lost my hat. We used to be when I went first went. Used to go to the farm. It was always had all. When we went, of course, the tents were all up. There used to be an advance party. Go and put the tents up and everything. You got issue with the palliasse, and you had to go to the farm and fill it with straw. And that was one of the big mistakes that the recruits generally made. They put far too much straw in, crammed it full. Well, he couldn't. He used to roll off it, but he didn't put too much straw in. But these things you had to learn. When you didn't know this, you didn't know that. Used to polish each button individually. We hadn't heard of a button stick or anything like that, because the old hands used to button stick, do them all at once and that sort of thing. But you learnt. And I remember I went to the corporal. I said, "Corporal, I've lost my hat." Because in them days, it was a peak cap, hat with a peak and round hat. In the old-fashioned uniform. "Hush, hush," he said. "You'd never lose anything in the army. Come with me," he said. And he walked along the tents. He looked in the tents. There was one tent with nobody, and he whipped in. And he came up with a hat on his head. And he walked a bit further, and he took off. He said, "There you are, there's a hat." And that was as he said, "You never lose anything. If you lose anything, you don't." Eventually, somebody left to lose it. But somebody must have pinched mine, I thought. But you had to learn all the ropes and stakes, this, that and the other. We used to have compass drill, and that was a mystery to a lot of them. The orienteering was a bit beyond us. I was enjoyed that, I could grasp it, a lot of them. Of course, they were us pit lads, you know, they'd never had much education, and they weren't, were bright, some of them, right? But they were a good set of lads who, you know, you knew everybody, knew companions, mates, friends, and you had that sort of a spiritual call. You would, didn't matter, you were the eighth, and that was it. They took pride in being the eighth company. Of course, there was always intercompany rivalry with the football, different games and that. And the sergeants, of course, they had a... We were just soldiers. And they used to try... They used to try complicated manoeuvres. But they didn't tell you, you know. The officers would be on horses, the adjutant and the brigadiers and captains and officers. Not the platoon officers, they used to be on foot, but some of them on horses. And they used to have manoeuvres where you had an advance and review order and this sort of thing, and wheeling in, you know, in a big long lane and changing direction. We used to do a lot of foot drill like that. Good for discipline as well, of course it was. You've got to learn the commands, got to learn the bugle calls, different bugle calls, so. And it's good fun, I think.
What were conditions like at these camps and your daily routine? What was that
like? Well, it wasn't bad, because when we were in the camps, generally in the middle of summer, you know, August, generally it was August. We used to get good summers in those days, because if it rained, they couldn't do much. Not outside, so that most of them, the weather used to be good. Your sergeant would take you off. I remember in one camp, it would be very misty, and we had to find our way, or at least the platoon sergeant had to take the platoon away. Each section had to find their way, and Corporal Foggan was my section commander. And we had to find a way from this road to another road. Of course, you had no means of knowing where you were. You had no compass, nothing. Just your own direction. And we ended back on this road where we started, nearly in the same place. And it amazed me, that, because I could have sworn we were going in a straight line. And we went in a circle. Came back nearly to where we started, and I never forgot that, because I was absolutely sure, and I said, I'm sure I could go in a straight line, and I practiced that, you know. Shut my eyes, I said, set my eyes on a certain point in the field, you know, and say, I'd walk towards that, I'd close my eyes and I'd walk and walk and walk, you know, 20, 30, 40 paces, and sure enough I'd be a mile off. So that was something I learnt, you know, when you're walking blind, you don't walk on a straight line. Or if you do, you're very, very fortunate. I don't know why you go to one side, but mostly to the right. I think it'd be a lot of time that you go to the left of your right hand and go to the right. It's a funny thing, that.
Any other things that stick in your mind that you did on camp? Any other things that stick in your mind that you did?
Yes, I remember the sergeant's mess. They used to have a special tent, you know, in the mess. And they used to have entertainment and singing. There were some good singers among me, you know, they used to sing. I remember I was standing outside the tent listening and enjoying it, and one of the sergeants came up and he said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "I'm in the music. You can't go out." Probably chased us off, like, you know, away. But we used to have some good times in the drill hall. What they call it, they'd have a smoker. And they used to, like a sort of a concert. Of course, they had a bar, they used to get beer in that. And you'd invite your friends and maybe put a small charge on. It was to go into the company funds for luxuries for the sergeant's mess. yes, it was It was fun, good fun. I didn't drink, like, you know, but a lot of the lads used to drink. But we couldn't drink when you went to the drill hall. On your, you used to go twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays. And you used to go in, report, like, you know, and then a certain time they'd fall in, take a roll, and Jay was there. You had to put so many drills in to get your bounty. You know, you couldn't just go known again. You didn't get your bounty because you got £5 for, you went to your fortnight's holiday and you got £5 bounty, which is a lot of money in those days. But if you didn't put the drills in, you didn't get your bounty. So that you had to be go pretty regular.
So was that the annual bounty, the £5? Was that your annual bounty?
That's right, £5. I remember there was war, and once one camp, I don't remember that camp was. No, was it? I can't remember exactly which camp, but they said they weren't going to pay the bounty out until they got home. Because if they paid out, see, the fellas tend to booze it. There was nearly a riot. It was, went mad. It was, they did pay it out, like. Because you used to generally pay you the last weekend, just before. You used to go on a Sunday and come back on a Sunday. And they'd give you the pay a bounty, maybe on the Friday before you came back. You know, you want to buy bits of things to bring home. Some men, you know, that had families and that. God, I was a single lad. That's what you got, £5.
Did you go to these camps as a battalion or as a company?
Oh, no, I used to go as a battalion. The whole 8th Battalion used to go. It was a huge field, and each company had their own section, you know. They were picked because there were a lot of fields in them days, there must have been. but there's always a big enough to take the whole company. And you would have heavy your headquarters. Everybody used to go, you know, not just the headquarter company and everything. And sometimes attachments, artillery. Later on, before the war, they were integrating. You know, used to train with artillery and that, and to see how they worked, the guns and things like that. Because I remember we were on parade and had fixed bayonets. And of course, in those days, when you fix bayonets, when you use the command fix bayonets, on the word fix, you do not fix. The right hand man takes 3 paces forward, takes a hold of the hand of his bayonet and forces it down, places it scabbard up centre of his back. And on the command, bayonets, you draw your bayonet out, put it on your rifle. And bloody man next door to me, he must have pulled and swung it, and he cut me right up here.
Ooh, on your hand?
Pouring blood. And I put my hand up, and I didn't know what to do. I was only a private. I thought, what am I going to do? I'm bleeding to death. Anyway, I put my hand up. Who that bloody man? Oh, the adjutant went mad. Say to him, the officer, the platoon officer, and he took us away, bandaged, took us to the first aid tent. It was always a first aid tent, you know, everything was arranged. And I remember in there was a lad, and he'd got his hand jammed in the coupling between the gun and the thing that pulled it. He had an awful hand. And I was sitting waiting for treatment, and he was getting treatment when the adjutant come in to say it would, and he seen this, and he thought it was his man. And he looked, oh my God, he said, and he walked out. Otherwise, I might have been on a charge, I don't know, but it wasn't my fault, really. But these sort of things, the little things like that you remember about the army. I remember.
But you just touched on there, you're talking about being on a charge. What was the discipline like at these camps and in the territorials in general? What was
you had to have your discipline. You know, you were. If you were sick, it was a sick parade. If you were sick, you go on sick parade, and you had to be there with your rifle. Yeah, your rifle always had to be clean. Or they'd just have a spot check on your rifle. And your rifle had to be cleaned. You didn't do any shooting, not actual firing, but you would. They didn't tell an ordinary soldier much, but you were just a sort of a unit. The platoon sergeant, and he would tell his section leaders what, you know, but that's as far. And then, of course, the whole scheme, they would say there's enemy so and so in that spot there, and you've got to try and attack it there. This would be the instructions they've got, not us, but the company commander, sort of thing. He'd go so far down the line, and you know, they had to work out the approach, best way to get there, and this, that, and the other. And of course, we used to practice, strangely enough, manoeuvres they did in the last war. You know, for all fairly up to date army, by the time the war broke out, we still used to, it was a good principle, you see. Give cover and fire, see. One half of the section would give cover and fire, and the others would run forward, then they would drop down, give cover, while the others for advancing. Things like that, we used to do manoeuvres and that sort of thing. I remember Tip Stonehouse, he got very well congratulated on one scheme because he'd gone up this, he'd spotted this sort of a gully thing, and he made this approach, and he'd done a good job, and I was in him on it, like, you know. So we were all congratulated for it, like. But it was all training for war, which was the whole object world. And to get you used to living in the field as well, you know. Had Rivali used to be at 6 o'clock or something like that in the morning. Where that not, and then it was PT, gunfire PT, and then you'd go for breakfast, and then of course you'd be on parade for whatever activities the day might be. It might be practicing ceremonial drill or foot drill. It might be out on manoeuvres, like finding your way with the compasses and that. And of course at tea time you stopped for your dinner. You all got your dinner, and then tea time was never much, like, but you got your tea, and then after that you were free, more or less free, to go around to whatever, nearest town or whatever it was, and have a drink or enjoy yourself, do whatever you want. But Sunday we had church parade, and after that you were more or less free. Of course there used to be guards. There used to be guards as well, like, you might be picked to be on guard. At the gate, there's always at the gate of the field, because you'd always get over the fence. They couldn't buy in that much, like. But you used to get, if you did wrong, you confined to barracks, sort of thing. Couldn't go out. But they couldn't do much for you in the drill hall if you did wrong. You know, there wasn't much you could punish you with. Of course you were a soldier, but you were just a territorial soldier, so that the worst they could do was throw you out, you know.
So was it a little more strict at the camp? Was the discipline a little more stricter at the camp than it was in the drill hall, for example?
Oh no, it's completely different in the camp.
Completely different.
You became under yeah. More like actual conditions you were out in the field. Different, it was different. You still did your certain fundamental things, like your foot drill, form fours, and marching up and down, and things like that. You had to keep your kit clean, your buttons, and all that sort of thing, you know, the Bronco equipment, because there would be parades, and you were inspected. and you would inspect it pretty closely. Why is this? Well, you'd be putting on down, you won't get any buttons. This is not right. That, and of course, you had to.
What was the food like on camp?
Well, yeah, I found it all right. Most of them found all right. It was rough and ready, you know, because it was practice, of course, for the cooks. You know, the administration, because in them days where they used to, there were fires and that big sort of galvanised oval things, these big, good big stews and things. Later on, when we got the new equipment, it was completely different. The last year, or yeah.